This is Matt Grant, and you're listening to the Malware Report. On today's show, we have Randy Abrams. Hi, Randy. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Matt. It's great to be back again.
You know, recently, the Better Business Bureau released its list of the top 10 scams of 2010, and over half of them were internet-related. Could you tell us about some of these scams?
Sure. One of the big scams out there is job hunter scams, scams that they're targeting people that are looking for jobs, which the way the economy's been for, well, most of the last decade, that there's a large pool of potential victims. And so they'll tell you that if you pay a fee, they'll get you a job and things like that. Another one is debt relief and settlement services. And if you're beginning to see a pattern here, the economy. And a lot of these scams claim that they'll reduce your payments or eliminate your debt, things like that. And there are legitimate companies that do that, but you need to do your homework and make sure that you're dealing with a reputable company. Right. So according to the Better Business Bureau, complaints about debt relief and settlement services went up about 30% in just 1 year. And then, of course, there's the work-from-home schemes, and these have been going on for a long time. And quite often, what they are is money mule schemes, where the bad guys want you to take the fall when they use your bank account to transfer stolen money. And then, not uninterestingly, timeshare resellers were among the top 10, and there have been issues with timeshares, you know, going back from before there were computers. So it's not surprising that some of this might happen online as well. And there are also legitimate timeshare companies. One of the big things are the misleading trial offers that aren't free after all. You know, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. And then another one that people have to look out for is itinerant home repairers and roofers. And that, you know, someone shows up offering to fix your house for an unbelievable price, don't believe it. And you always want to make sure that when someone's working on your home, you're dealing with someone who's licensed and bonded. And then lottery and sweepstakes scams, which reminds me, I got an email the other day and I've got like 350,000 euros waiting for me to claim it.
Yeah, lucky you.
Yeah. You know, people are pretending to be Reader's Digest or Publishers Clearing House, or there's a lot of the foreign lottery scams. You know, if you didn't enter the lottery, you didn't win. You don't get picked randomly by your email address, things like that. And then there is identity theft on the list as well. And identity theft can be an online or low-tech scam. You know, it's a best practice to shred your mail before you throw it out. But, you know, phishing emails and vishing, which is like phishing, but it's phone calls, and now they have smishing, which is text messages. When you get these things and you give up information, then there's always a chance that it can lead to identity theft, especially when they're asking for lots of information. Your bank's not going to send you an email asking for your PIN or your social security number or any of these kinds of things.
Well, it sounds like, I mean, a lot of this comes down to a trust, obviously, where people should not be trusting these individuals that are searching for this information. And much of it is about volunteering personal information. What are some best practices that our listeners can follow to try to, you know, stay safe from these attacks?
Don't pay up front. That's one of them. And there's a corollary to that, too. A common tactic, especially with Craigslist, but not limited to Craigslist, is that you'll sell something and someone will send you a check, and then it turns out the check is for more than the agreed upon price. So the person asks you just to send back the overpayment. Well, that check is a bad check. And if you send back the overpayment, you'll soon find out that the check bounced. So not only don't pay up front, but if someone pays you too much, hang on for a while. Don't send that money back yet. If you haven't cashed the check, tell them just to send you a check for the right amount. Make sure it clears with the bank. So, you know, that's one of the things to do. Make payments online with a credit card, not a debit card. There's additional protections when you use a credit card versus a debit card. And I would recommend even going as far as having a separate credit card with a low limit specifically for online payments and have it at a different bank than you do all of your other banking. And that way, if that account's compromised, they don't get into all of your banking.
Right. I mean, it sounds like these are pretty similar scams that we've seen over the past several years. I mean, is there anything that the bad guys are doing new here, or is it just lack of awareness from end users who keep falling for the same type of scams?
You know, I think it's really a lack of awareness for end users. A lot of what you need to learn about these things is that it's not just specific to one thing. So, like, if I tell you to don't give your Hotmail password out when you get an email saying there's a problem, what you have to do is generalize that information. And you don't give your password to anyone. And it's not just email. It could be a social networking site. It could be your bank. You know, when people get caught up in the details and don't look at the big picture, then they don't learn how to spot scams when they appear in new incarnations. You know, a lot of the things that your parents taught you about public interfaces go for email, and even more so for online encounters, because you don't have a face to associate with that digital conversation on your screen. You don't actually know if it's your friend who's typing at you.
Well, Randy, as always, good advice for our listeners. If you have any questions or think that you might have received a scam message, feel free to email Randy at askeset@eset.com. You can also follow the ESET research team on Twitter at ESET Research. This has been Matt Grant, and you're listening to the Malware Report.